In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel reading from Matthew today presents us with three scenarios, partly following on to each other, partly set within one another, plus one pointing us to the future. I will endeavour to move us through these settings to reflect on what we can learn from each one. Scene one, with Jesus in focus. Jesus has just completed a full program of healing, teaching, and preaching. The immediately preceding scene in Matthew's Gospel tells of the feeding of the 5,000 by the Lake of Galilee. Last week, our chaplain, Cara, shared valuable thoughts on how God does great things with our limited resources and resourcefulness. At the end of the day in question, Jesus is exhausted. His reserves are at low ebb. He needs to retreat from the pressures of expending himself for others. Let us hold on to that thought for a moment. A human Jesus, powered by his commitment to do the will of his Father in heaven, also needed time out. He needed to recharge his batteries in communion with his Father. We read that he orders his disciples to go ahead across to the other side of the lake, where he will join them in order to resume his demanding mission among the people there. And he dismisses the crowds who had gathered to hear him, to be healed by him, and whom he had fed. In other words, he acts authoritatively to make this space. It is easy to read over such significant pointers in Jesus' ministry. Here we are reminded that this ministry depended on the close communion he held with God. It serves us also as a reminder that whether we are in full-time vocation as priests or whether in any other profession or work which we want to do to the glory of God and as a Christian witness, we need to find the time for stillness, prayer, and reflection before God. We need to take stock, reorient our lives and motives, and wait for God's answer and blessing. In such moments of so-called inaction, of turning less into ourselves, but rather to the source of our being, whom we call God, we are tapping into the wellspring of new energy and commitment in our service to God. In our next scene, we focus on the disciples who are tossing about on the lake under heavy weather. The fishermen among them have no reason to be afraid. They are professionals in weathering physical storms. What has become disturbing is that Jesus is not with them. Since they have left their means of livelihood in order to follow Jesus, life, individually and together, loses its orientation and purpose without his reassuring presence. They are literally and figuratively at sea when he is not with them, or when they believe he is not present. Then suddenly there he is before them, a most unlikely appearance, walking towards them in the midst of the heavy waves. Before they can cry out in astonishment and terror, they hear his reassuring voice. "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." This scene calls to mind Jesus' appearances to the disciples after his resurrection. Their reservoir of faith is at lowest ebb. It just cannot be Jesus. Matthew, who is writing to his congregation during a time when Christians were facing severe persecution for their faith, assures them, "Take heart, have no fear, Jesus is with us." We read that Jesus then entered the boat with the disciples and the wind dropped. At this point, the disciples recognize Jesus for who he truly is. "You are the Son of God." Perhaps we can identify with these disciples of the first hour. We too can feel tossed about, perhaps especially so under these COVID-19 conditions, when so much that has been stable and a stable framework of our life as a Christian community has had to be given up, or for which we have had to find alternatives, which we find hard to live with. Or other adverse situations have cropped up among us, which we unsuccessfully try to do battle with out of our own resources. But let us be reassured. Jesus is there to be recognized for who he truly is and to show the unexpected way out of our dilemma. We have but to grasp the offer. Thirdly, at the individual level, there is the scene between Jesus and Peter. We may, at an obvious level, think that Peter's faith is particularly strong, as it is he who dares to take the step out of the boat to walk towards Jesus. But as a fisherman, if it had been his desire to join Jesus, he could have jumped out of the boat and tried to swim. His bid to walk on water made little sense in terms of a superior faith. Rather, it found him on a treacherous footing. In crying out, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water," he is actually testing Jesus. One commentator draws a parallel with the devil testing Jesus in the wilderness. "If you are the Christ, turn these stones into bread," or "Throw yourself off this pinnacle to prove that the angels carry you gently to the ground." But we can't just leave it at that parallel. How often do we find ourselves testing or bargaining with God or Jesus by putting conditions on our petitions? "If you are God, give me this proof or that. Make my child well, and I promise to ... or allow someone who seems to be against me suffer this or that consequence," etc. What we are doing, in fact, is trying to put our will over God's, persuading, if not ordering, God to do as we think best. The situation we find Peter in is therefore close to home and very human. He is torn between faith and fear, belief and disbelief, self-determined action and helplessness. Without being judgmental, we cannot approve of this course of action. But Jesus understands and forgives. Jesus recognizes the opportunity to take Peter a step further in his faith journey. He does not rebuff and set right Peter as he does the evil-intentioned true adversary. Instead, he simply says, "Come." When Peter, after walking a few steps, begins to sink and begs Jesus to save him, Jesus reaches out his hand. "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" is all Jesus says, offering Peter the insight to do better next time. We may find ourselves making the same sort of mistakes time and time again. But time and again, Jesus will not fail us when we reach out for his help to strengthen our faith and to show us the right course of action. The final scene points us to the future with Jesus on board among the disciples. The church is often symbolized as a boat which has to steer through all weathers. The World Council of Churches, for instance, has such a boat as its symbol. A boat or ship with people on board is not meant to be tossing helplessly and without direction on a stormy sea, though such pictures are sadly not unfamiliar in our times of refugees trying to cross the Mediterranean. A ship at sea is in deliberate motion, set on a course with a clear goal ahead. In this story, Jesus is on board with his disciples, heading for the opposite shore, where their mission continues. The goal is to witness to God's kingdom, even in the midst of storms. This is the message of Matthew to his first century congregation, and still is to us in the 21st century. The heavy weather in our day and age is no less testing and often frightening. But we will experience Christ in our midst under all the circumstances, even if he at times seems distant. We can call out in our fear, and he will respond in ways unexpected, but reassuring, strengthening our faith in him who is truly the Son of God. Amen.